I understand if I preach too long, this electrocutes me. That's what they've told me a time or two. That was good. You know, old Steve, he wasn't teaching or preaching today, but he had to get up here in front of everybody. That grows on you. I'll tell you, just get you, you know. You know how hard a time I have sitting out there watching these other guys go to work. Look at Luke chapter 13. We'll read verses 1 through 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for this beautiful day and this opportunity to preach your word, for this group that's gathered here to hear it. And Lord, we ask you to touch every person here. We pray for every Christian you draw us close to you. We pray for anyone in the sound of my voice that is lost, that they would come to repent of their sins and call upon you and be saved. We pray your Holy Spirit would have his way. And I pray you in our midst, in our presence. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting phrase here. Nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance or perishing. Repentance or perishing. You're going to find that throughout the Bible. Repent or perish. Down in verse 5. Nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The very start of the story says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. You know, some people die in extraordinary ways. Not everybody dies at 90 years old laying on a bed and just passing out. You know, the people that die in horrible car wrecks, there are people that are raped and tortured and murdered. There are people that are in the midst of a war somewhere and they just get shot up with machine guns, and they're little girls taken off captive and raped and tortured and beat up. And man, do you ever think about something like that? How come people die the way they die? They were bringing it up to Jesus and said, do you know what? There were some guys over there in Galilee. They were offering their sacrifices, and Pilate sent his soldiers in and went in there, and he just chopped them to pieces, and their human blood went on that altar with their lamb's blood. What a horrible way to die. How disgusting, how pitiful. And he said, do you think, Jesus asking them, do you think these people were terrible sinners above all Galileans because they had such a horrible death? He said, I tell you, no. Unless you repent, you likewise perish. And then they told him, well, there were some guys over here, and they were building this tower and had this high tower there in Jerusalem, and the tower fell on them, and 18 men died. I said, man, what a way to die. Look at all those families that have lost their loved ones. And man, look at the sorrow there. Man, God sure didn't treat them very nice, did he? And Jesus said, you think these were the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No, they weren't the worst sinners in Jerusalem. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Now, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. I want you to understand, all of us are sinners. Oh, there's some people sin worse than others. I wouldn't say all sin is exactly alike. It isn't alike. There's a lot of difference in me telling someone that they've got a beautiful new hat on when I really don't like it. I'm trying to be nice and I tell them a white lie, you know? Or somebody that's fat as I am, you come and say, oh, you look like you've lost 10 pounds. Why, you're looking so good. Or you're learning Spanish and one of these fellows down in Mexico says, oh, your Spanish is so beautiful. Your accent is just wonderful. These little polite lies, there's a little bit of difference between them and stealing somebody, robbing them, raping them, tearing them apart, cutting them, dismembering them, and throwing them away somewhere down the line. Don't you think there's a difference in sin? But you see, the problem is all of our sins aren't little white lies. Not with any of us. Would be nice if all of us were so nice, we were so polite, we'd lie to make people happy. That'd be sort of nice. We'd have a little more pleasant world, wouldn't we? You wouldn't have as many crude, rude people like me around, you know. No, I really don't like that. You look ugly as homemade soap. Man, I wouldn't be caught dead in that outfit on a dark alley on the west side of San Antonio. You know? It'd be nice if we spent a little more time being sweet to each other, but that's not the problem of our sins. You see, the Bible calls us all sinners, and we're not all just little sinners. We're great big sinners. We have lust and we have hate. And Jesus said if we lust after a woman in our heart or a woman lusting after a man in her heart, she's committed adultery already. Oh, we not only have lust, we have actual adultery. People are living with other people they're not married to. We've got all sorts of trash going on in this world. We've got drug dealers. We've got gangs that go around and just shooting up people. And no doubt, many of these people that are shot up in these things, it's vengeance from one gang going back to another. And so you say, well, they sowed a lot of that and they reaped. And that's true. It is true you reap what you sow. And so some of us sow some seed and we're just foolish enough to sow the wrong kind of seed and it comes back home and we reap that seed, but we're sinners. I think about the big hurricane we had that hit Florida here a couple of years ago. It nearly broke all the insurance companies. Just nearly broke them all. You think the Floridians were worse sinners than all the people in San Antonio or California or New York? Or you think the Floridians were that much worse than the rest of them? No. Jesus would tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Down there in Guatemala, they had that big earthquake, and I think 6,000 people died in the earthquake in Guatemala just a few years ago. You think the Guatemalans are the worst Latin American country that there is, or the biggest sinners down there that there are south of the border? I don't think so. No, but you see, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know, just this last week, I think it was, there was a plane with 130 people on it that all of a sudden took a dive into a mountain. Everybody died. The pilots died. The stewardesses died. 130 passengers died. Probably over 100 families were affected by that one plane crash. Over 100 families lost their father or their mother or their son or their daughter, and maybe much more than that. I really don't know. Do you reckon these people had just committed gross, wicked, horrible sins just the week before the plane crash? No. You know what Jesus would tell you? Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I want you to understand something. God Almighty hates sin, all sin. Sin brings its just result. And if you're alive today, it's by the mercy of God He lets you live this long. I buried a friend here a while back. He'd been shot 11 times in his lifetime. I was with him, knew about, in the sense, 9 of those times. But he'd been shot 11 times. He died at 60 of cancer. You reckon the mercy of God was somewhere around there? I mean, he wasn't shot with BB guns or 22s. I saw him one time in the hospital. He shot twice with a 30-30, his own 30-30 in the back, 2 times. I saw him the next time he went to the hospital with him, he was shot 5 times with a .45, point blank, off the bar stool and 4 more into the floor. And I'm in the Baptist hospital with him when I thought this man was never going to live. He's not coming out of this. He come out of it. Shot 38, shot with a 38 2 more times, and I don't know what the other 2 were. I don't know about them. Most people don't live with one .45 blown in their face. Some people die when one .22 goes off close to them. Listen to me. Life and death are a part of what we're living with. I'm telling you, you're living with death. Now, you'd like to ignore it, and you like to think, I'm all right, just like you like to ignore sin. You think your sins are all right. Oh, other people, they're gross, they're ugly, they're nasty, they're filthy, but your sins are all right. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah. Oh, man. We despise what other people do, and we justify what we do ourselves. Jesus said, you think these people, if these disasters happen to, I sometimes think about it. And then I think back of the grace of God. I've come almost 58 years and come this far. By the grace of God. By the grace of God, I've been preaching the gospel 37 years. By the grace of God. By the grace of God, somebody hadn't killed me yet, or run over me yet, or shot me yet. Or God's mercy just kept on coming down the line, because except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Get it in your head. You are a sinner and deserve the wrath of God. You are a sinner and deserve the judgment of God. And I'm even talking to you, my Christian friend, saved, blood bought, blood washed, sanctified, changed. You're still awful wicked. You know it. Don't go around setting up some beautiful, pretty show like, boy, you never would think of something like that. That's not true. Down in the depths of your heart. What about your dreams? What if we told all your dreams in front of the church? Would you like that? No, you wouldn't like that. What if we told your thoughts when somebody crossed in front of you on the expressway? What if we actually told your language if somebody cuts you off? Huh? Or you wouldn't sound too much like Mr. or Ms. Christian then, would you? No. You'd sound like the Mr. World down here, the fellow down at the bar. You'd sound like some of this other bunch out here. Sometimes we get a little too self-righteous. Sometimes we hold ourselves up, and these self-righteous people sitting down there in Jerusalem are talking to Jesus and thinking, think what a horrible death those people had. Jesus said, you better repent. Amen. I told him about that group had a horrible death there in Jerusalem itself. He said, you better repent. It's repent or perish. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. I believe they're here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Look at verse 7. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you have a television? I went 7 years without a television, probably good years, and probably a bad move when I brought it back in the house. But at any rate, it's in my house, and I watch it. And I don't just watch spiritual programs. I've only seen myself on TV twice. I'd rather watch Clint Eastwood than me. That's terrible, I know. I confess it. But I don't justify it and say it's not sin. I know what it is. It says men shall be lovers of their own selves. There was a guy driving just yesterday. I mean, the expressways were packed. But he comes up behind me, and he moves across here, and he moves in another lane here, and he comes back across here, all the time here. And by the time we'd got 3 or 4 miles down the way, he was at least 100 yards ahead of me. He really made good time, didn't he? Oh! You know who he was thinking about? He wasn't thinking about that little old lady, 80 years old, trying to make sure she held on the road when he cut in front of her. He wasn't thinking about that new first-year driver over there that was just nervous as all get out that he was getting in front of her. He wasn't thinking about causing a wreck for anybody else. All he wanted was to be ahead of whoever's in front of him. I remember here, Christmas here, a few years ago. All the dads and mamas are in line trying to get up and see Santa Claus down at Jockey's. And one daddy walked up there with his little boy and just cut in the line. Another one said, wait a minute, that's a long line. Get back at the end of it. They got in an argument. The man took out a knife and stabbed him. How about a beautiful Christmas present for your child? One's daddy's dead and the other one goes to jail for murder. Wonderful. Why did this guy come up and push in line like that? He wasn't thinking about anybody but himself. No respect for anybody else. No respect for their feelings. No respect for their rights. No respect for their thinking. Men are lovers of their own selves. And you know, I find I'm a lover of myself too. I hope I've got enough grace, Christianity, embarrassment left in me, civilizations being civilized or whatever, to not be so obvious about it. But oh, we love ourselves, don't we? We sure don't like somebody insulting us. We sure don't like somebody not thinking the way we think. We sure don't like somebody not crossing their T's like I cross my T, or dotting their I's like I dot my I's. We don't like anybody that thinks differently. We don't think they ought to have a right to do it. We think everything ought to go our way. You know what's the problem with some of your marriages? Some of you are just mad at each other as you couldn't stand each other except in front of everybody else. You got to talk sweet this morning, don't you? I know you got in a fight on the way to church. Some of you are going to be in a fight on the way home because you think somebody told me. Yeah. But it's a lie. I just know people. You can't preach the gospel 37 years and listen to everybody's stories without knowing people. You know what your problem in your marriage is? You think too much yourself. You're too important. Nobody else counts. Your kids don't count. Your wife doesn't count. Your kids don't count. Your husband doesn't count. The church doesn't count. Jesus doesn't count. You're a lover of your own self. Man. The tragedy, the hurt, the pain, the divorce, the craziness down inside of us that goes on all around us, all because we love ourselves. You know, that's just one. That's a tremendous list. I don't have time to go through that list. I'm not going to even get to my other verses if I stay on this place. Just look at a couple more. About proud, covetous. Covetous? Covetous? We're all covetous. The rich among us and the poor among us. We're all so covetous. We got good things we want more and better. You ever notice how you talk about your car when you decide to get a new one? That car is not going to make another 50 miles without going to the shop. And you're going to sell it to a used car dealer who's going to tell everybody it's an absolute great car driven by a little old lady to church. Never been on the highway above 60 miles an hour. Never had a cigarette smoked in it in his life. And it's just a cream puff. They're going to sell it for double the price. And somebody's going to drive that car for another 100,000 miles. But isn't it amazing how covetous we get when we want something? We can get all that out. And you know, proud. And look down at verse 4. Oh, I'll tell you. I wish it were Super Bowl Sunday. I should be preaching this on Super Bowl Sunday. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Yeah, you ought to be embarrassed to stay home and watch the Super Bowl when church is on. I'll start praying on Super Bowl Sunday all your televisions go out. Just because you stayed home instead of coming to church. Well, I know their churches, they change the hours of the church service so the Super Bowl can be shown and all the people can see it. Some of them even put big screen TVs in the church and that's their evening service. Am I telling the truth? That blows my mind. I wouldn't want to walk up to God and say our evening service was the Super Bowl, even if it was the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I think that's dangerous. That's like walking up to God and spitting in his face. It's like walking up to God and saying, hey, you want to take me on? I'm tough. You're crazy. You're out of your cotton picking mind. Lovers of pleasure is more than lovers of God. That's where we live. What pleases me? What makes me happy? What I do? What I want to do? What I want for my wife? What I want for my kids? What I want for my house? We're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, we'll serve God if it doesn't cost us anything. We'll serve God if it's not too much trouble. We'll serve God if it doesn't get in with our plans. We're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hey, Christian friend, you think people out there died because they were much more wicked than you? Read this list. Go back over that list in Timothy and tell me they were much more wicked than you. No, you better repent or you might likewise perish. That's what the Bible says. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. When these old babies start crying, pick them up, haul them out, spank the little bottoms. When they quit crying, bring them back in. They'll get taught real quick. Look at Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, until wine inflame them. And the harp, and the vial, and the tabaret, and the pipe and the wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. Verse 14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Look at verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness. Verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. Verse 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away from the righteous from the righteousness from him. Therefore, as the fire devoured the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they've cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. You know who God's writing this to? The lost heathen. No. He's writing it to the people of Israel, the people of God. He's writing it to his priests and his prophets. He's writing it to his scribes and the ones of Levite that took care of the temple. He's writing it to his kings and his queens and his mighty men and his holy men. He's writing it to his own people. Oh, you think those people that went down in that plane crash over there just a week or two ago, they were much more wicked than all the people in San Antonio? No. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's what the Bible says. Woe to them that get up early to follow strong drink. I'm a teetotaler. I haven't had a drink of any alcohol that wasn't in medicine for 37 years. I'm sure glad I quit drinking when I could. I'm a foodaholic. You know what I found? I used to think I had some willpower. I used to think I had some real... I could take it or leave it. I smoked from my time I was 5 till I was 21. 16 years and quit when I was 21. I'm glad I quit smoking when I could. Because if I handled smoke and if I handled alcohol like I'm handling food right now, I'd be in real deep trouble. You understand? You understand what I'm saying to you? One out of eight social drinkers is going to become an alcoholic. One out of eight. 12.5%. They don't know who they are. There's not a psychologist or psychiatrist that can tell you who's going to become an alcoholic and who's not. You know one way sure you cannot be an alcoholic? Never take the first social drink. Just don't drink. Be a teetotaler. Get it out of the way. Stop it. Say no! You know how you can be sure you're not going to be a drug addict? Don't ever take the first bit. You know how you can be sure that you can have safe sex? You be a virgin, marry a virgin, and never have a third party anywhere in it. There is no other safe sex. The United States government is lying to you. The head doctor of the nation is lying to you. And when they put off and pass out condoms in our schools for safe sex, they are too stupid to live. Some of you are condom babies. Yeah. About 15%. They don't always work. Oh, they work 85% of the time. So what? You want the other 15%? We got a bunch of liars around. We got a bunch of people that are selling you a bill of goods. We got some people that don't care about anybody. The Bible says woe to people who do things for reward. They do injustice. They do wickedness. They do all sorts of things. They call evil good and good evil. Boy, we live in that generation. We got regular marriages. We got no marriages, just living together. We now have queer marriages where men are marrying men and adopting little boys. We got women marrying women and adopting little girls. You think everything's in line? I don't think it's in line. I think we're completely out of joint. I think we're turned backwards and upside down. I believe somebody's calling evil good. And somebody's calling good evil. You stand up for abortion. You stand up for the rights of life. Stand against abortion and stand for the right to life. You stand up and stand for the Word of God. You stand up and stand for morality. You stand up and not stand for so-called safe sex. You stand for abstinence. That's what God says. Abstinence. You teach your children no. I grew up, there was a double standard, no doubt about it. It was unfair to girls, no doubt about it. But the world was a better place. Yeah, we lived under a double standard. Now we don't have any standard. Are we in better shape? No. Your kids are in worse shape. Your kids are being influenced day after day. You take a look at your television lately? Take a real good look at it. Television is not setting the morals of America. It's displaying the morals of America. Television is not as what rottening this country. This country's going rotten on its own, big time. And television is a mirror of the world. Yes, it's bad. Yes, it's getting worse. And yes, it's going to get worse. But you know the reason why it is? Because people pay to watch it.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I know you don't like it, but you're getting what you pay for. You're getting what you live for. You're getting what you want. No amen. That's good preaching, Brother Lindblom. I don't care whether you like it or not. Television is a mirror. These movies are mirrors of our minds and our wickedness and the places we've gone to. You think we're going uphill? Take a look at the book of Daniel chapter 2. You'll find the head of gold is Nebuchadnezzar. You'll find the Medes and the Persians are silver. You'll find Alexander the Great is brass and the Grecian Empire. You'll find the Roman Empire is iron. And you'll get down here to the end of these 10 toes, getting very close to the coming of the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it's clay mingled with a little iron. Clay and iron don't mix. Evolution! Somebody's got something backwards. We're not getting better. We're not getting smarter. We're getting worse. You know what they're doing to the SAT tests and other things like this? We're lowering them every year. I'm sorry, kids. I'm not trying to badmouth you. I'm just telling you a trend. You know what they're doing to the high school textbooks? They're writing them lower, easier to read. You know what they're doing to the college textbooks? They're writing them lower, easier to read. Why? Because we're getting so much smarter. We're doing such a much better job. Man, we're adding years of education on, because if we give them 2 or 3 more years way down here and 2 or 3 more years way up here, have all a bunch of smarter people. No, we're not. We are in a degeneration, not an evolution. God said Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest Gentile king, and he comes down to our times just before the coming of the Lord. He said a little bit of clay and a little bit of iron. They don't mix. It's getting worse and worse and worse, and it's going to get worse. What else you to do about it? He said, if you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You need to do some examining of your own hearts, what you need to do. You need to take a look at yourself. You want to protect your kids? Then get yourself right with God. Want to protect your kids? Take a stand against what's evil. In your own house, yes. In your house, you can protect your kids. You teach your kids right at home, they'll know that 2 and 2 is not 17 when they walk out on the street and somebody tries to sell them a bill of goods. You teach them right at home. You teach them the Word of God. You live an example before. You know what some of you say? Now, you kids, I want you to live right, but I'm going to live as I please. Don't do what Daddy does. Do what Daddy says, huh? Well, let me tell you what those boys are going to do, son. They're going to do what Daddy does. Oh, there's exceptions to the rule. Yes, there's some godly families that have some bad kids. Yes, there's some bad families that have some good kids. I taught a kid in school years ago. He's a grown man now, 45 years old somewhere. His mother was a prostitute. His sister was a prostitute, and both on dope. One of the best kids I ever saw in my life. He didn't smoke. He didn't drink. He didn't cuss. He went to school. Boy, what an exception. What an exception, I thought. I don't know how this happens. We got some missionaries down there. Got a fellow in Florida. Real good friends of mine. They came out of literal trash dumps for families. Trash dumps for families. How in the world they ever found out what was right or wrong is almost beyond my imagination. God in His mercy reached down and pulled them up out of a slimy pit and set their feet upon a rock. But as the general rule goes, what you sow, you reap. As the general rule goes, the way you are, that's what your kids are going to be when they're 21 or 2 or 3. Oh, yeah. Take a real good look. And you know what you better do? You want to protect your kids today? You better raise them right. Protect your kids? You better put the Bible in the home. You want to protect your kids? You better bring them to the house of God instead of send them. You want to protect your kids? You better repent of your sins. They ought to see you in prayer sometime instead of just cussing. Amen?
Amen.
They'll say you're reading your Bible instead of watching television. Amen?
Amen?
Boy, you're weak. But
you know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. You know what's wrong with this country right here? You know what's wrong with us today? It's not the bars. It's not the mafia. It's not the drug cartel. It's not the school system or the NEA. And it's not the television. It's the church itself. It's a dry church in a hell-bound world, and they don't care about sin in their own life. That's right. I know you don't like it, but I want you to understand, hell itself cannot withstand the church of God when she's on her knees with power. When God Almighty decides to move, He can take the most corrupt society there is and bring up two Wesley boys and change the whole thing. Now, God can protect your family. God can protect your marriage. And God can protect your children. And God can protect you from Satan. He's the only one who can. You know why you walked in here today and you weren't mugged last night, you weren't robbed last night, somebody didn't burn your house down, you didn't get shot? Because it's the grace of Almighty God. Is it you deserved it? No, you didn't deserve it. You don't deserve it now. Is it that you're so careful, you're so spiritual, you're so right with God? If you are, come up and talk to me. Give me some help. No, that's not the problem. We don't have many people in here that are super spiritual, over spiritual. Maybe we got a bunch of lazy people in Zion, sitting back on our easy chairs, enjoying our wealth, coveting for more, enjoying our entertainment, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. He said, woe, 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 woe. I want to read the first and the last of that one more time. Down in that last part of verse 12, they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. They walk along like it was their just right to have a perfect life. How many people in the world have the life you have? Anybody ever been in another country? Anybody ever lived there, seen the kind of people that are there? Some of these poor, poor people don't have a window in a window. They sweep dirt floors that are packed down, and they spray water out in the street to hold the dust down. They don't have running water on the Saturday night. That's the reality. Are they bigger sinners than you are? They more wicked than you are? No, I know better. I know better. Oh yeah, they're wicked. They're sinners. But they're just like you and just like me. Just like us. You know what he said? They don't regard the work of the Lord, neither consider operation of His hands. Do you ever just look up on a day when you're driving down the road and you're thinking about your family, you're enjoying it? You ever just look up and say, thank you, Lord? Thank you, God, that didn't happen. Does something ever happen to somebody on the TV and you say, God, thank you, that wasn't my little girl. God, thank you, that wasn't my son. God, thank you, that wasn't my house. 15 families got burned out here last week in one of these apartment fires. Lost everything. Didn't even have a place to go. You still got all your stuff. Your garage is full of junk. You got more clothes than you can wear. You got more cars than you can drive. You got more money than you can spend. No, not with this covetous bunch. That won't fit, will it? You spend more than you make. Oh, did I hit anybody here? Is anybody paying 20% more for everything they've got now because they've already run it up on the plastic and they got it so far on the plastic they can't get any more on the plastic, and because they're spending so much money on the plastic they haven't got any money to buy it? And now they're like an old gambler that's lost all his money and his hands are itching to pick up the cards again because he can't get that credit card out and steal it anymore. Covetous. You ought to repent of it. God hates covetous. Bible says, in fact, one of the things you ought to discipline people out of the church for is covetousness, but we'd all be gone. Chapter 5 and verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness and their blossoms shall grow up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. I don't have time, but I'm going to read you just a few incidences of chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. Jesus is talking to His Christian church in this dispensation. Chapter 2, verse 5, He's talking to the church at Ephesus. He said, remember and repent. Chapter 2, verse 16, He's talking to the church at Pergamos. He said, repent or else. chapter 2, 22 of the church of Thyatira. He said, I will cast that Jezebel into great tribulation, and except they repent of their deeds, they're going to get cast into that tribulation. Chapter 3, verse 3, the church at Sardis, remember and repent. Chapter 3, verse 19, the church at Laodicea, be zealous and repent. You know what the message of this book is? It's for the church, it's for the lost, it's for everybody here, it's repent or perish.
Look at Revelation 3:20. One of the greatest invitation verses in the Bible, Revelation 3:20. Written to a church. Written to your church. We're in the day of Laodicea.
You and I live in it. It's the last church before the coming of Jesus Christ. It's rich and increased with goods, thinks it has need of nothing, and knows not it's poor, blind, miserable, wretched, naked.
Jesus is on the outside of the door of the church trying to get in. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And sup with him, and he with me. What that S-U-P is, it's supper. I'll come in and I'll sit down at your dinner table. I'll sit down and we'll sit there and have good fellowship. You know, as I've gotten older, I don't enjoy going to Six Flags. I don't enjoy going to parades. I don't enjoy climbing mountains. But I love to sit down at a table, across the table with good friends or family or relatives. Don't you?
Good time. Well, let's just go out to eat.
Sit around. Enjoy good food. Enjoy good fellowship. That's what Jesus said. He said, I'm on the outside of this wicked, self-righteous, rich church that doesn't realize it's spiritually bankrupt. And he said, I'm knocking on the door. You hear him today? Can you hear him? He'd love to come into your church. If he can't get into church, he'd love to come into your home. And sit down at the supper table with you. And enjoy the fellowship, the sweet communion, the friendship, and the meal. Jesus knocking on your door today? That's an invitation to a church. What do you say? Repent. Repent. You may be hearing you're lost. You say, you've been talking to Christians. Yeah, you're right. I've been talking to Christians most of the time. Almost everything I said applies to you. You may not understand that, but almost everything I said applies to you. The same root thing that we started it with. You see the disaster of these people out here, how they died, how horrible their death was? You think they were bigger, worse sinners than anybody else? No. Jesus said, except you repent, we shall all likewise perish. When you hear about Jesus Christ today, I want you to understand, except you repent, you're going to perish. You don't turn your mind away from, you don't turn away from your sin, you don't turn away from your self-righteousness, you don't turn away from your religion, you don't turn away from that thing that's holding you back from coming to God, if you don't say no to it, turn from it, turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to have mercy upon you and save you, you're going to perish. And that perish is an eternal fire. A place called hell. Awful, awful place. I'd say repent, my friend. Turn, change your mind about the way you've been living. Change your mind about your ideas. Change your mind about your religion and take what God says, Jesus Christ, as the only Savior, the only sacrifice, the only name you can get saved in. And then fall on your face and ask God to forgive you and save you until He does. My Christian friend, the perishing doesn't mean you'll go to hell. You already been saved. Do you know what? You can sure lose a lot. You got anything to lose? Anybody here so in such bad shape you don't have anything to lose? Anybody got any Christian friends in here? You just have had such a bad time, you got nothing left to lose? I got plenty to lose. I still got a good wife that loves me. I still got my children. All my children are alive. They love me and I love them. My children are living for the Lord right now. Oh, I could lose. I could lose big. I got a church family and friends and that has a testimony. And
doing something for God. Oh, I could lose. I could lose. Could you lose? Oh, yeah, you could lose. You better take a look around and see the blessings God has bestowed upon you. You think it's because you're more righteous than the people down the road? You think it's because you're living such a much better life than those across on the south side of town? You think it's because you're so much smarter than those in Austin or those over in Bangladesh? You better take a look at the mercy of God and the grace of God and say, God, by your grace and your mercy, you've allowed me to come this far. You blessed me with this much. God, help me to give you the credit where it ought to be. When you got saved, you repented. That's how you got saved. If you didn't repent, you didn't get saved. You had to change your mind. You had to change your mind about your sin. You had to change your mind about your religion and turn to Jesus Christ. That's repentance. It wasn't over. Repentance didn't end when you got saved. It just began. And the only way you stay close to God, the only way you get right with God, the only way you keep your family close to God, the only way you walk a Christian walk any number of years at all, is you have to keep on repenting. Keep on repenting. Keep on repenting. Because your natural heart, like that first song you sang, your natural heart has a bent to wander, go away from God. And you walk right out of a time when God's moved upon your heart, and you'll be hit with the old world again, and the desires, and the temptations, and the stupidity, and the waste of this life, and you're caught almost immediately. So that you don't serve God as you ought to serve God. And so, my friend, because you're sitting here today in your comfort, in your blessing, in your ease, in the presence of Almighty God, it's the mercy and grace of God. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Let's stand and sing number 249. Number 249. This invitation is open, Christian friend. If God's spoken to your heart, if He has, then come down here, get on your face and ask God to forgive you, get things right with God. If you happen to be here and you're lost, you're not saved today, the Spirit of God's revealed that to you, you need to get saved, come on down here, grab my hand, I'll get somebody to talk to you. Sing it out. If you're here and lost, come grab my hand. I'll get somebody to talk with you. Pray for you. Oh, the Christian friend, get your heart right. Get a revival in your soul. Repent of what you're doing wrong. Let God do some changing in your life. Get a thankful heart within you for the things that God has done for you and blessed you. There's plenty of room. If not, there's room on this front row up here. You're here and you're lost without Jesus Christ. God, the Holy Spirit spoken to your heart. You know you're lost. You know you need to be saved. Not me talking. The Holy Spirit talking to your heart. Come down. Tell me about it. Step out of that aisle. Come in. Say, Brother Kincaid, I want somebody to help me. I want to be saved. I want to turn my life over to Jesus. Come grab my hand. We'll get a hold of somebody. They'll talk with you. They'll pray with you. Don't walk out of here lost on the road to hell. Accept Christ as your Savior today. Just as you are, would you come? How about you, friend? Has God spoken to your heart today? Then do what God told you to do. Just as you are, not when you've made things right, not when you've turned everything over, not when you're walking perfect, just as you are, come to God. Confess your sins to God, asking for forgiveness and cleansing. Some of you right in this room are sowing seeds that are going to bring you great sorrow if you don't repent of them. God help you to do it. Has God spoken to your heart today? Will you do what God told you to do? One more verse. This is your verse, friend. Holy Spirit's spoken to you. We won't keep it going forever. God, the Holy Spirit spoken to you. Will you come? Today's the day of salvation. Right now is accepted time. And Jesus Christ wants into your heart. Will you come to Jesus? All you need, you'll find in Jesus. How about you today? Father, how we thank you for your word. We confess to you we're miserable servants. We think of ourselves almost all the time, and you seldom. Oh God, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to help us to be lovers of God more than lovers of pleasure. We ask you, Lord, to take away our covetousness. And Lord, fill us with a joy and peace in believing. I ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of where we've lived before our families and our neighbors and friends without thinking about our testimony to you. I ask you, Father, to hear the prayers that are prayed in this place and answer them according to your will, in your mercy and in your grace. And I ask you, Lord, to touch any lost soul in the sound of my voice, that they may come to you and be saved. And Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.